ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
4, 3, 2, 1.
G'day, Dr. Carl here.
And lift off.
40 years on, we want to unpack the behind-the-scenes story of the Challenger disaster.
Obviously a major malfunction.
I saw it explode. I couldn't believe it.
Hear the whole story on our podcast, The Challenger Legacy, a new series of science fiction. Search for Science Friction on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are lots of ways a tree can die. Fire, pestilence, humans with axes. But some tree deaths are less biblical. Sometimes trees just die of old age. And across Australia, scientists say these tree deaths are happening more and more often. Should we be worried? I'm Jonathan Webb, and this is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. Here with me to open up her lab book and talk trees is Professor Belinda Medlin, a plant ecologist from Western Sydney University. Hi, Belinda, and welcome to Lab Notes.
Hello.
Trees face a lot of threats that we know about. But your recent study looked at deaths from natural causes. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, I mean, we've called it background mortality, the tree deaths that are kind of happening in the background. So there's a lot of tree death that's really obvious, dieback or extreme drought or fire, then everyone knows all the trees are dying. But as you say, in a forest, there's always trees dying now and then. And that was the rate of mortality that we were trying to look at with this study.
And so you counted it in lots of different parts of the country. What was the process like of collecting this sort of survey of background mortality of trees?
We didn't actually do any of the surveys ourselves. What we did was to collect data that other people had already been and measured and tried to bring it all together into one big data set. So the data that we have comes from several different sources, including a number of the state forestry agencies. So what we wanted to see was whether the rate of tree death had increased over time. And so for that, we were looking for records that went back beyond the start of the 2000s. So some of our data sets go back to the 1940s. Most of them started in the 1960s or the 70s. Typically what people will do is they'll go into a patch of forest, they'll mark all of the trees and they'll measure them. So they'll see how big those trees are. And then they'll go back 5, 10 years later and re-measure them. And the ones that have died, they'll note. So most of the monitoring is actually about measuring the tree growth rate. And so particularly for the forestry agencies, they're doing it because they need to understand what the timber supply is looking like, how the forests were growing, with the aim of understanding what timber could be harvested down the track. Trees don't only die when they're old. So a lot of trees do die when they're young too. And so it's interesting, the ages at which trees die does actually differ depending on what part of the country you're looking at. In the south of the country, for example, most of the tree deaths are actually fairly young trees because you start with lots of trees and then as the whole forest grows up, the young ones that aren't competing well will die. And so you get more young trees dying than old trees. But then if you go into the tropical rainforest, all of the trees have an equal probability of dying.
Okay. So is that because the level of competition is different in different types of forest?
Yes, yeah. And the dynamics are different.
But your survey, all these data on background tree mortality, they count all of those deaths at different ages, provided they haven't been caused by some external factor.
Yeah. So we removed the tree deaths that were due to fire and that were due to logging, of course. The tree deaths that remain are the ones that where we don't really have an obvious cause.
And why are these background deaths interesting? Why is this a number, a measurement that's important?
It's about understanding what the impacts of climate change are on our native vegetation. I have been working in this field for over 30 years. And at the outset, we were trying to forecast what would happen as the temperature rose. And there's lots of different models, there's lots of different hypotheses. Finally, we're far enough into climate change that we can actually test our hypotheses. which in itself is, you know, we didn't ever think we'd get it this far to be able to test these predictions, and it's kind of disappointing that we have.
As in, you didn't think while you were alive, I guess, the temperature would climb as much as it has.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Thought we'd have stopped it by now. Nonetheless, temperatures continue to rise, so that does give us an opportunity to go and look at, well, what is actually happening in the forests. And so what we're seeing is this quite subtle change. It's not obvious. You wouldn't notice it just by walking around in the forest. But although it's subtle, it's important because it really is changing the dynamics of the forest, and it's a pretty clear signal of the changing climate, showing us that there are effects on the vegetation that aren't obvious, but nonetheless are really changing how the vegetation is functioning.
So what sort of increases are you seeing? From what I saw in the paper, and we had an excellent article on this as well on the ABC News website by my colleague Peter de Kruijf, these rates are low. So the kind of overall numbers are low, but the rate at which they are climbing seems in some cases to be really quite steep.
Yes, exactly. So you're right, it's quite low. So in some places, maybe it's 5 in 1,000 trees that would typically die each year on average. So it's not very many, but the rates have roughly doubled over the last 70 years.
Wow.
So we're going from 5 to 10 in 1,000 trees. And so it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you think about, well, this is the natural dynamics. So the natural dynamics of the forest has really accelerated over the last 70 years.
And if things keep doubling, then the numbers get quite high quite fast, don't they?
Yeah. I don't like to make predictions about what's happening in the future because we don't really understand what's driving that increase. So it's unlikely to keep doubling, I would hope.
Fingers crossed.
Says, fingers crossed, yeah, exactly.
If the tree death rates, if this background mortality is going up, does that mean that the total number of trees in these forests is going down? How fast are they being replenished?
That's a really important question and surprisingly difficult to get at, just because the data sets that we're working with aren't really designed to measure the recruitment or the new trees that are coming in. So we've had a bit of a try at trying to estimate how many new trees are coming in, but we haven't really finished those analyses yet, and they are quite tricky. What I can say is that one of the things that we wondered was whether the increasing death rate was because of a faster growth rate. So it's quite possible that the trees are growing faster because of, for example, the increasing CO2 concentration. Higher CO2 predicted to make trees grow faster could also make trees die faster. So we went looking for that signal, and there's really no evidence of faster growth rates. So that's not the explanation.
So we don't know exactly what the cause is. I mean, the trend matches the rise of temperatures with human-caused climate change, but exactly what's causing this increase in background mortality, we don't have a handle on?
Exactly. We can see that it's quite strongly correlated with the increase in temperature. So we're kind of inferring that it's related to the climate change. But what the mechanism is by which a rise in temperature would cause faster tree death is something that we're still trying to figure out. There's lots of hypotheses. Could be damage from high temperatures during heat waves. It could be increased water stress because you've got increased evaporation during high temperatures. It could be a change to the carbon balance of the trees. So typically at higher temperatures, plants will respire more and they'll use up more of their carbon. So it could be a switch in the carbon balance. It could also have something to do with insects. So it's possible that at higher temperatures, we have more pest damage, for example. So all of those are hypotheses that we are now starting to explore as a research community to try and figure out what the driving mechanism is.
What do findings like this mean? If background mortality is going up, are we overestimating how well our forests are doing at helping us balance the carbon budget?
Basically, yes. Projections for how much carbon the land surface is likely to store really at the moment assume that the forests will continue to take up a significant amount of the human-induced emissions, but that increase in mortality kind of suggests that that capacity to act as carbon sinks may be declining. And so we may be less able to rely on forests to store additional carbon for us in future.
That sounds sobering.
Yes. Yep.
On a related note, there was another recent paper by Australian researchers which suggests that at least in some way we may have been underestimating the carbon absorption of some of our trees because microbes in their bark actually consume greenhouse gases. This seemed like a little bit of good news. Was that a surprising finding?
It's a really interesting finding, super cool finding. So what those researchers have done is to look at the community of microbes that live on tree bark. And so, you know, microbes isn't something that we usually think about, and we certainly don't think about what's happening on the tree bark very often. So they went and looked at those communities, did some analyses of the genomics of the communities to see what was living there and what sorts of functions those microbes had. And they found that the microbes were doing all kinds of interesting things. So they're certainly taking up hydrogen gases. They can take up methane. So they're doing some really interesting things on the bark.
But potentially not doing enough to really put a finger on the scales in terms of this overall carbon equation, or we just don't know yet.
I would say probably not putting a finger on the scales in the other direction for us, unfortunately.
And looking at it all together, your findings that background tree mortality all over the country really is higher than we thought and increasing, does it suggest that we need to try quite a lot harder with our modelling of carbon emissions to take things like this into account and take a good hard look at just how much we can rely on the trees to do for us?
Yes. With our tree mortality study, it's all about the carbon sequestration of the forests. Really, what that is helping us think about is what's the future projection look like? So I think we have a reasonable idea of how much is being sequestered at the moment, but understanding what the trajectory looks like in the future is kind of critical because that determines how much carbon we're sequestering and therefore how much more the temperature is going to rise. And it looks like our projections at the moment are optimistic.
And do you think, given you're seeing this consistency across different types of forests in different parts of Australia, do you think this is a global pattern?
Almost certainly, yes. Yeah. So Australia isn't a special case here. We can't say, oh, poor old Australia, but, you know, Canada's fine. There are similar reports from pretty much all around the world where people have had forest inventory to look at.
Professor Belinda Medlin, thank you for sharing your lab notes with me.
Thank you for having me on.
Belinda's recent paper was in the journal Nature Plants. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. Lab Notes is made on the lands of the Gadigal and Menang Noongar people. Fiona Pepper is the producer, and it was mixed by Tegan Nichols. And I'm Jonathan Webb. Catch you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.